I'm good, Ryan. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. Good. Listen, this series is fascinating me. Everything right now that the Sharks are doing is fascinating to me. They do it again on home ice last night. They tie things up. We'll get into the specifics, but just generally, how are they doing it right now? Because the Kings are still playing good hockey.
Kings are playing very good, and the Kings are getting back to finding their groove that they were in last year, but they're finding it a little tougher. You know, they were 16-4 last year, and they've already lost, it was at 4 games already in the first 10 games. But with San Jose, it's kind of happened this way all season long. Well, not all season long. Sorry. Once the changes started happening with the Sharks, you know, they went through that stretch where they won 6 games in 23, and a lesser coaching staff, a lesser head coach, Ryan, this team's lining up for a lottery pick. They won the first 7 in a row, then lost, you know, 18 out of 23 or whatever it was, and they were in trouble. They were floundering. They were drowning. And Todd McClellan and Larry Robinson, Jimmy Johnson and Jay Woodcroft, they did a great job. Brett Hymlich as well. They did a great job in moving some pieces around and getting more of a game or of a team, I should say, that brought depth to the lineup. You had Brent Burns moved up. You had, you know, Couture go back to the middle. Pavelski go back to the middle. You had Rafi Torres come in the trade deadline. A lot of different things happened where the pieces moved into place where it became more of a team and less about one or two guys.
Boy, how about Joe Thornton last night?
Awesome.
For a guy, you know, just for a team that's sort of everybody's focused on Logan Couture and maybe others, Joe Thornton really proved last night with his forechecking and his playmaking that he is still very much this team, and he embodies it, doesn't he?
Yeah, Brent Burns said it last night after the game. He said he's our leader for a reason. He's still our leader. And everybody's talking about Logan, and rightfully so, because Logan is one kind of special player. But Joe Thornton is still the guy. He is still the voice in the San Jose Sharks room. He's still the captain. He is still the big personality in the room. And one thing that, you know, a lot of people talk about Joe, and they think that they know Joe because they've heard media reports about Joe in the playoffs. Well, for the last 4 years for the Sharks, even I think even more than that, maybe even 5 years for the Sharks, he has been a point-a-game guy in the playoffs. He still is the guy that when he gets his feet going, when he is playing like he is and using his body, he's an awfully big man and awfully tough to get the puck off of. He led the team last night. He set the tone last night. And Brent Burns also added last night after the game, you know what, when he plays like that, he's a lot of fun to play with. But I think Brent Burns is a big part of that, Ryan. I think that, you know, Brent has been moved up from defense to forward. He's another big guy up there. They're two kind of this, well, not the same personalities, but they're two very big, loud people. You know, they're big personalities with big voices, and I think that Joe loves playing with them. And so, Joe is as much as anybody, you know, wants to criticize Joe for his playoff performance or lack of Stanley Cup rings. He still is the guy that the Sharks depend on a great deal.
Where do you come out on Niemi's play? I mean, last night he was brilliant. And I don't mean overall, but I just mean it sort of seems like everybody's focused on a lot of goaltenders in this series or outside of this series, Drew. And it seems like, again, he's sort of flying under the radar.
Yep. I had a guy tell me the other day he's the Rodney Dangerfield of goaltending. And I think that's apropos. And he is a guy that, because when you look at other goaltenders, and even when Antti Niemi won the Stanley Cup in Chicago, he didn't get a lot of respect for his play. It was all about Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and Duncan Keith and Dustin Byfuglien, and rightfully so. Those guys were great. But Antti Niemi in this series against the Sharks, that year the Sharks went up against the Chicago Blackhawks in the Western Conference Final, and Antti Niemi stole that series. Joel Quenneville pretty much said so. Joel Quenneville said if the goaltending would have been reversed, it might have been a different outcome. And Antti Niemi, that was where really he got on the Sharks' radar. You know, that was when they looked at him and went, that's interesting, because Nabokov's contract was coming up, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, all those things, of how they happen. And he is a guy, though, Ryan, you and I both know goaltenders that have never had a puck go by him that was their fault, right? Antti Niemi is completely opposite. Very accountable guy, watches video after the games. He looks at his goals, looks at the positioning. He'll come right out and say it. He'll come right out and say, "Oh, I should have had that. That was my fault." And the guys love him for that. The guys love that he battles in net. The guys love the fact that he goes out all the time and just won't give up on a puck until it's past him. I mean, he has been for the first time, I think, since he got to the San Jose Sharks, 100% healthy. Played some hockey over in Europe before he came over during the lockout. And he has been the Sharks' MVP this year. Even as good as Logan has been, as good as some other guys have been this year, Antti Niemi's the main reason the Sharks even got to the playoffs or were in a playoff hunt until things started turning around.
Boy, and how about that moment? Dustin Penner looks like maybe he has scored the quick whistle. Yeah. Hockey plays happen, and that is something that that happens in this game, a quick whistle. But I'm sure, and nobody's really on the L.A. side of things pointing any fingers, but that was a lucky break for the Sharks last night.
You know, when I was assistant coach with the Sharks, the first time we made the playoffs, which was our third year, first year we moved into San Jose because we played those first 2 years at the Cow Palace, we made the playoffs and we're going up against Detroit. Bob Area was our captain, and Bob had won 2 Stanley Cups with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And he came up with a list, 16 things it takes to win the Stanley Cup. And he just wrote it down on a piece of paper, and he was on the plane when we were coming back from L.A. making the playoffs that year. That was where we clinched. And he just sat down and wrote it down. It just random things it takes to win the playoffs. And he sat with us because we had this first time the team was going to the playoffs. And a lot of us were new at it. And he sat down and said, guys, this is some of the things I think. And as a leader, I thought it was a really great move. And one of the things he wrote down was luck. Just one word, luck. Mm. And he said, it takes luck to win. He said, sometimes it goes off a skate and goes in. Sometimes it's a post. Sometimes it's a referee's call. He said, don't discount luck. And when it happens for you, take it and be blessed. He said, when it goes against you, take it and learn from it and be better. But sometimes there's nothing you can do. Sometimes it's just all about luck. But make no mistake, it takes luck to win the Stanley Cup. And so last night, the Sharks got a lucky break. It happens without a doubt. You know, that's just Brad Meier made a quick whistle on it. You know, I'm sure that Brad looks at that today and goes, oh. But for the Sharks, it's a break. But I like the way the Kings handled it. I thought that Dustin Penner, when he was interviewed after the game, a interview between the periods, was really smart about it. And I thought the Kings did a good job of not complaining. I mean, one thing that we've seen from a team that, you know, that we both have played against with the Vancouver and Calgary is that, or I mean, Calgary and San Jose, is Vancouver Canucks. And what they were doing in the first round, and the complaining that after the first game, it was cheating on the faceoff, then it was Kevin Bieksa and all the Sharks diving, and then it was referees' calls and power. You're not going to win if you complain about the officials.
Tell me about, I guess, just the way they started. The Sharks started, they came out looking great. And they were able to sort of withstand the Kings' pursuit and attack later throughout the game. Just how are they trying to keep these guys in check? Maybe a little thought on the X's and O's of how they, because, I mean, L.A. finds gears, and they've really been able to sort of withstand it in the games that they've been able to win.
One of the things that the Sharks rely on, and it's no different really from a lot of teams when you're in the coaching realm. I'm very lucky as a color commentator. I get to sit with the coaches the day after games in the morning and go watch video with them. Todd McClellan lets me do that. It really helps me understand what the coaches are looking for. And with the Sharks' game plan, nothing has really changed. Todd McClellan said before the playoffs started, if you're making big adjustments now in your game, in your X's and O's, then you're in trouble. Game is like anybody else's, and you can interview one guy for the Sharks or one guy for the Kings, it's going to be the same. Get the puck behind, get a forecheck going. With Jonathan Quick especially, crowd him, push him back because he doesn't like it, makes him a little bit smaller net because he loves the challenge, and for the Sharks is get as many shots as possible. Now, the key for the Sharks when they're getting is in the first period you saw it. In fact, the first 30 minutes of the game you saw it.
Yeah, they 15 got, shots in the
yeah,
first.
Yeah, quick, and but they also got, the reason they were able to do that is because they got out of their zone quick. They were quick out of their zone, they were clean out of the breakouts, and they were able to move through the neutral zone. What happened in the next 30 minutes, more than the next 20 minutes, is that the Kings' forecheck got going. And if the Sharks aren't clean out of their zone, and if that forecheck is allowed to pressure you, they're in trouble because you're spending too much time in your zone. So one of the things the Sharks have been doing, and you watch, they come back, when the puck goes into the zone, they shrink. And what I mean by shrink is you've got 4 guys over where the puck is in the corner or along the boards, and you've got one guy on the weak side who kind of plays off in the slot just in case the puck pops out. But they shrink the zone as much as possible. Try not to allow a big cycle game or the puck to go back to the point where they've got guys like Voinoff and Muzzin, LRB, guys that can really shoot the puck. So they're trying to shrink the zone, keep it in a small contained area, and then pop it out and get going.
Drew Amenda joining us, the color voice of the San Jose Sharks on the television side. Drew, how concerned are they? I mean, the LA Kings last night out-hit the Sharks 53-36. However, I would imagine that the Sharks are okay with that because they're winning things like faceoffs, 34-26, and you know what? They're blocking more shots. Are they okay with the idea that okay, LA may be a little bit more physical? We're going to concentrate on other areas.
Yeah, they knew that LA was going to be more physical. Vancouver is more physical than the Sharks. The Sharks are big; they've got big bodies. But the LA Kings come out and try to pound you. One of the reasons that the Kings had that many hits is because the Sharks possess the puck so much. And you mentioned face-offs. Face-offs has been a big key for the Sharks. Since Todd McClellan arrived, they put an emphasis on face-offs. And since Todd McClellan's been head coach now 5 years, they have been, I think, in the lowest they've been is fifth in face-offs across the National Hockey League throughout a season. They've got big centermen. They've got good centermen. Puck possession is important in the playoffs, but it's very important for the San Jose Sharks game. Joe Thornton last night, he was a monster in the face-off circle. They put a big premium on winning the draws, keeping the puck, and if you've got the puck a lot, the other team's going to hit you. Simple as that. The key is when the other team hits you, you keep going.
Right.
You know, other teams can hit you and other teams can wear you down, and I think that's what L.A. did to St. Louis, which we thought maybe the reverse was going to happen there. But you just have to keep going. With the big guys like the Sharks have, it doesn't really affect them that much. They're pretty used to it.
You mentioned that you're in with the coaches and you look at the tape with them. Help me with Todd McClellan. Tell me about him. Take me inside. What's it like? I mean, we hear such great things about him as a person and as a coach, and he seems to be a pretty good fit in San Jose. I just wonder if you can sort of help shed a little light on who he is as a man and as a coach and what it's like being in those sessions and what he's trying to get out of his club.
I've been very lucky. I've known Todd for many Saskatoon guys, and I've known Todd for many years. And what you learn from Todd McClellan is that he never stops thinking about the game. He has got tons of depth. You know, like all of us, he's got a family that's important. His son, Tyson, really good hockey player, making a decision whether he's going to play junior or college next year. He is a guy that, as a family man, is just wonderful. But as a hockey coach, he never stops thinking about the game. He never stops watching the game. He is watching the other games going on. His dad scouts for the Sharks. He's watching the Memorial Cup, and he's talking about the Memorial Cup in Saskatoon. Todd is a hockey guy. He's a rink rat. He watches a ton of hockey, talks to a lot of people, gets counsel from a lot of people. In the morning video sessions, he gets there after the game the next day. He'll get there about 5:30 in the morning.
Really?
Yeah, it's not my cup of tea. I hate getting up that early, but if I want to go watch, I got to go watch, right?
Yeah.
So he'll say, I'll say to him, what time tomorrow? And he'll go, about 6. Okay. And I'll get there at 6, and 5:30, he's already a period, you know, into it. And I go, you know, why do you do that? Why do you? And he starts to laugh, and we sit down, we watch it. But then everybody gets together after he's watched it, and then they all sit down, and he goes around the table. Okay, Larry, what'd you think? Jimmy, what'd you think? And he gets their input about what they thought about the game, writes it all down, and he continues to write down and look at stats. He continues to try to break down the team as much as he can. He'll break down individuals. He'll watch individual video of guys. He's kind of, like good coaches all are, he's kind of a workaholic in that regard. But as far as how he thinks the game, he doesn't let you, and this is what I really like about him, Ryan, is that he doesn't let you pass on something. If you would say, you guys, he'll ask you after the game, what'd you think? And you can, if you give him that standard, well, you guys played hard, you played good, you just didn't. And he goes, no. Specifically, what did you think? He will ask and try to find out specifically what you think. One of the things he hates the most is when somebody says, well, you got to work harder. And he'll look at you and go, well, what does that mean? What are you talking about? Where do you have to work harder? Where do we have to do this? You know, well, you got to get more pressure on. Well, okay, tell me how we do that. He gets very specific. There's no glossed over answers. There's no glossed over situations where it's going to be okay. He gets specifically, truthfully, 100% to the root of the issue. That's what I like about him. He's always thinking about a way to get better. And, you know, I've been very, very lucky to be working with a guy like that, a guy I've known for a long time. And when you watch him work, you understand why he's been so successful every place he's been.
Players respect it too, Drew?
Yeah, because he's honest. There's no mind games with Todd. He doesn't do that. He doesn't want that. If he's got an issue with the way you're playing, he'll bring you in. He'll sit you down. He doesn't blow his top all the time, but he is certainly business. You know, it's out there, and this is our job, and this is what we expect. The thing about him, too, is that the reason the players respect him is because this is, he puts it, he lays it out as far as, this is what I expect from you. You've got to reach that all the time. That's the level you have to be at. And he makes no bones about it, but he does it in a very respectful, honest, forthright way that the players respect. And there is no, like I said, there's no screwing with a guy. There's no mind games. There's no Keenan-esque, you know, playing with a guy's head to get him to play the right way. It's just, this is your job. This is my job. I'm going to push you, but it's going to work for both of us.
Hey, fantastic insight as always, Drew. We appreciate it. I love this series. I can't get enough of it. I hope it goes seven.
Me too, and I hope it's I don't hope it goes seven. I hope it goes six, and we win the next two. How's that?
Yeah, you want to keep working, but you'd like to end sooner, I would imagine.
I'm just an observer now, bud, because the networks take over, so I'm just another observer.
Yeah, well, listen, we appreciate it as always, and we'll have you on again, hopefully to talk a little bit more Sharks. Maybe in this series, maybe in the next one. Well,
who knows? Conference final, hey?
You betcha. Thanks again, Drew.
All right. Talk to you later.